girlfriend. I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I'm the daughter
of Christine Marie.
And
I'm the mama.
And we are both...
Don't you forget it.
...coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher, a business owner, and we're just here...
Why are we here?
Isn't that the question? Yeah, it's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like our engineer kind of proposed that a little bit before we got here.
I know. We were talking to the engineer
synchronicity
for the show,
and bring up synchronicity, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Knock me over, man. Now I got this huge thought in my brain that's kind of taking up real estate, and the other things I wanted to talk about are getting smaller and smaller. I don't know what to say. It's like, you know.
Why are we here? We're here because we're here.
Yes. And how does synchronicity play into that? I love this idea that he brought into our life 2 minutes before the show about how, and I see this all the time, 11:11 on the clock, or 12:12. I see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And is it a way that our spirit is triggering our environment to say, hey, look around, there's something important going on here, or take notice?
So, I mean, just the idea of a moment of pure consciousness,
yes,
if it exists, to stop and say, "Hey, what's going on?
What's going on?"
And to be at a place where we can read the signs, maybe listen for messages, read the signs.
For sure, and that's really what our job is. Well, I just want to say you can go find more about us at Christy Marie and Julie and
.com.
Yes. And you can email us at talktous@ChristyMarieandJulie.com. And then also, too, you can purchase our lovely book, The Clutterfly Effect. Woohoo!
I love it when you do.
Your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
And I love the royalty checks every month.
Thank you.
And thank you, people.
You can go to TheClutterflyEffect.com for that. It's on Amazon.
And every time you buy it, you can get the free audio.
Yes.
Of us.
Just email us at talktous@ChristineMarieandJulie.com. Let us know that you got it. Maybe take a little snapshot of the Amazon receipt and send it to us. And we'll send you this audio of us saying our own words. Woohoo! And sometimes I sound really nasally. I'm like, oh no. This is not good.
And I'm still a little nasally, even though my cold is, I think, technically gone.
Yes.
Well, I've been doing the saline solution.
Well, it's so funny because I was with Doug's mom a day, and she was saying, I have been sick since before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I understand that because I've had this cold, it seems like,
forever.
Yeah,
you have two colds, yeah.
And I said, if I didn't believe in this, I might believe in this, and that it's a conspiracy, that we are just not, our bodies are not able to recover from these things that used to take only 2 weeks, that just drag on, and it's our immune system. And we talk about that.
I think that's true. I think there's a little bit about that. But for, you know, listen, we've been, because of your having your back out and your sciatica thing, I mean, you just had months of things going on with you physically.
Yes.
But because of that, we've been in an interesting place in terms of doing, you know, our spiritual work, research, delving deep and being reflective. And I'm studying about the brain and all what's going on in the new research and in the brain. And I wouldn't have been able to do all this if we kind of hadn't been down in our game a little bit.
Oh, I totally get that.
So I'm totally thanking God for that.
Now, I don't know if it's just making lemonade out of lemons.
No, you didn't say that again.
What can I say, Mick?
Lemonade. Okay.
But should I say making, or not
every
that
every week you promise me.
I know, but or I can say this, that, you know, it's not like we're just saying that maybe we just choose to find the pony in the poo.
Right.
You know, there's a pony around here because there's a lot of poo right there.
Right, that's right.
We could say that. Mm-hmm. Or is it somehow our spirit setting things up for us, or God,
so what we
whatever.
Were talking about
yeah.
with our engineer.
With synchronicity.
Things are getting set up in a way that is going to beautifully unfold.
Right. And this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been sick and thrown my back out or had knee issues. And all this malarkey, which I said to you today, 2015, I'm claiming my health back. I don't give a crap. And my spirit self, my spirituality will not suffer.
No.
I can have it both.
You can have it. You can have it all, girlfriend.
That's what I want. So
you
I don't know what the answer is, and I guess it doesn't matter because the end result is the same,
mm-hmm.
which was I was able to dive deep into certain areas
mm-hmm.
that I wouldn't have been able to if I felt better. I don't.
Right.
When you feel the worst,
right.
you search out different answers.
Yes.
Because you're like, how did I manifest this into my life? How did I claim
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
How is my thought process going?
And after you look and do all that delving, and you come to a bigger perspective.
Right.
Maybe it isn't my little brain. Maybe it's about something larger. Maybe I'm supposed to be someplace.
Right.
Maybe I am supposed to look at things this way.
And I wasn't getting there without this happening.
Right.
And so it is all meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just myself, my brain, turning the lemons into lemonade or finding that pony in the poo.
Don't
judge it.
Don't judge that.
No.
No. No, don't judge it. Stay in your spirit realm.
Well, yeah.
You know, to judge it, you get into the mind and all mm-hmm. that activity and the chaos and...
Well, it's interesting you're talking about judging because on Super Soul Oprah, Super Soul Sunday, I watch her like at 6 o'clock in the morning because I'm up. It's kind of quiet. My day hasn't begun yet. But beyond that, I don't see it. You know, I've got other things going on. But today she was interviewing, don't remember the man's name because I just can't remember at the moment, but he wrote the book, The War. No, The Art of War. No, The War
no,
of
no.
Art.
The War of Art. Seth somebody.
No, I don't think it's Seth. I think it's somebody else.
Okay.
Maybe it is Seth. I could be wrong.
Mm.
I don't think it's the person that wrote Spores versus...
Okay. No.
All
right. Well, you have your computer in front of you?
I do not.
Okay.
I have my iPhone. I can look it up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk, I'll look it up.
Yes.
But
that's somebody? Seth... No, it's not Seth Rogen.
No, it's not.
It just makes me feel like saying that word, though. I don't know.
But it was interesting because he talked about this idea of first of all, stop condemning yourself because condemnation doesn't do anything for the soul. Now, we've talked about that for a long time.
Oh, for a long time.
And we've been working with this idea even more of how do we more completely forgive ourselves and others.
Yes.
Because that's the first step into healing.
It's the first step in everything.
It really is.
And if you search, I mean, if something's not going right, search yourself for who you haven't forgiven.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
Especially yourself, but then, you know, let it trickle on down.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you trickling on?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that I've had a held resentment today towards somebody, and I did get it resolved. But it was funny. I did not feel good. I felt anxious, and I noticed I was eating more anxiously,
mm-hmm.
Not consciously. And all those things bring out stress in the body, which is like the worst thing for your physical health.
Mm-hmm.
Stress, I mean long-term stress.
Right.
The days of needing stress to get away from the tiger chasing you, that's good stress. But this continual stress,
mm-hmm.
that's not healthy for you.
It's not. And... We need coping skills,
mm-hmm.
You know, different kind in this day and age. You know, we're talking about how much, I mean, everything's evolving, things are going faster. You know, we don't...
Hold on.
Did you say hold on?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's okay. sorry. I will tell you why. Okay, here's the reason why.
The puppy?
Yes. What did you tell me yesterday? You said to me... I know where you have Elliot's crate at. And
oh, no.
Just tell me he's not chewing my brake front.
Has he chewed on
it? No, but today I saw him, just at this moment, for the first time,
okay.
He has teeth on the brake front. And I said,
no.
Oh, my gosh.
That is not going to happen.
It's moved. He cannot do it. He's fine. He's fine now.
Okay, good.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Oh, my God, I'm going to breathe again. Elliot, you know, we love him, right? And we wanted him, right?
Yes.
And
we paid good money for him.
And he's and he's been with us 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and he's a darling and he's cute, but he's a pooper, he's a peer, and he's a nipper, and I mean he's a love muffin and all of that, but he's a pooper, peer, and a nipper, and I've come to a conclusion, which is the only thing I really could come to, which is he must have a brain tumor or something.
No, he doesn't.
Not a puppy of ours would do this, would he?
Yes, and I keep telling your money you that it is all right for him to do this. See, this is what he does. This is what puppies do.
He poops a lot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he should be Sir Poop a lot.
Yeah, but he's looking at me right now going, hey, can we come out and play?
Mm-hmm.
No, but I appreciate you being so kind. Stephen Pressfield, though, is a gentleman who wrote the book.
No.
Yes.
Stephen Pressfield?
Yes.
The war of art.
Yes. I believe so.
I don't believe it.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
I think you are, because I think I would know that name, because I read the book a couple years ago.
No, it's him. I'm pretty sure.
I said, really?
Yeah.
Stephen
Pressfield? I saw him. It looks just like him.
Okay.
But he talks about this idea about resistance. And the worst thing you can do for yourself is to condemn yourself for having resistance in your life. And he talked about resistance in this way, which I love because it kind of gave it a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about resistance in the book, The Clutterfly Effect,
right.
as your saboteur. And you can have even outside influences be your saboteur and resistance. And also resistance is a way of when you're not in alignment, when you're in alignment, there's no resistance. When your emotions, your attitudes, your beliefs, and your actions are all in alignment, man, that's like the zone, and there's no resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And then until something happens, like an obstacle of some sort, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he talks about this idea of resistance being this natural force that is always there, a natural force. We talk about love being a natural force,
right?
Or that matter in between things that creates worlds, right?
Right.
That in the book, the art of making money. What is it that we did the audio for? Can't think of the name of it.
Right.
Wallace Waddles.
Yeah.
Can't even name
Science
it.
Getting rich, yeah.
Anyway, he talks about Wallace Waddles in there. He talks about this idea that there's this essence in between everything that creates worlds. And putting your thought into that space that gets you to create, to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Deepak Chopra talks about that as the...
intention.
Yeah. That space in between thoughts, that creative space, and he has an exact word for it, but I can't think of it at the moment, that gap. And so, but talking, you know, so we know that that exists, right? And so he's saying that what also exists is this idea of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
They really do exist. The energy of resistance exists, and the way I perceive it, the way he was talking about it, is that it attaches onto you, and you have a choice to pay attention to it. Now, with you reading about brain science,
mm-hmm.
I love this idea where he says, though, he goes, when you realize it just is what it is,
mm-hmm.
it's not you thinking it. You're not controlling it. It just is what it is. You can then hit it. You can hit it full force. You can attack it with all your will because it's not you. The resistance is not you.
Interesting. So he doesn't personalize it.
And therefore does not condemn mm-hmm. himself for having it. Now, he also talks about this, and this kind of leads us to the point of last week when we mentioned about being 100% committed versus 99% committed to
mm-hmm.
anything
mm-hmm.
and what that
oh,
really
my gosh,
means.
I know. I have thought about that. I have experienced that this week.
Yes.
And when I've come to, like, decision-making even, I'll say to myself, because, you know, you want to
yeah.
just, like, oh, maybe fudge a little bit or whatever.
Right.
You go, wait a minute, am I 100% committed or am I 99.9% committed, which means it's horrible.
It's like
I have to
yeah.
make these decisions.
Right.
I have to stand, like you said, in condemnation
yeah.
or guilt. And all of that.
And it's been interesting because we're planning a party this year. And it's going to be kind of a big party.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, for the 4 or 5 hours that people are going to be here, it has been taking up a lot of space in my brain. And space
no.
that...
We had to make sock puppets today.
Yes, exactly. Space in my brain, space in my life. And this could be a 40-hour project. And in a time when I've
right.
said I'm committed to doing other things,
yeah.
100%. And I'm like, ah, you're really committed to being doing something else.
Really, Julie, you're asking this the right questions because, I mean, if this weren't the holidays, we would be seriously working on these issues.
Yeah.
You know, on these
right.
actual things that we're working on.
Right.
But we're sort of, we're not letting it slide, but we're trying to have balance.
Yes.
Life, you know,
mm-hmm.
have a life, have family, have friends, you know, all this stuff. We just want to have it all.
And yes. And sometimes things suffer because of that.
You know, I wanted to ask you this question. I know I'm not trying to throw a ringer at you or anything, but, you know, you're talking about resistance, and my thought was, especially as the way this author is describing it, you know, where can we see that in nature, that there is this natural force of resistance in nature? Can you think of one?
Well, I mean, there's always the fight between the forest and the prairie. And there is that resistance.
Right.
And even in a forest itself, because once a forest starts growing, then the light is, there's not enough light for the undergrowth to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're developing this canopy that's growing. And,
right.
you know, so there is a natural force of resistance out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm thinking of water even, or, you know, I'm thinking of erosion. I don't know if that's resistance or not, but I'm pretty sure that it does exist in nature.
Oh, yes, yeah. For sure. And that's more verification. But one thing that Stephen Pressfield talked about in his book, he talked about this idea of being a pro versus being an amateur in whatever you do. And that goes back to the 100% committed thing. Because when you're an amateur, it's just a hobby.
Yes,
it's a vocation, not an avocation.
Right.
And but when you're a pro...
You okay, girlfriend?
Yeah, when you're a pro, you do it no matter what.
Right.
You're not doing it perfectly.
No.
And that's the key. We all have our jobs that we do and that we succeed at.
Yeah.
Even
because
if,
we succeed because we keep doing it.
We keep
and
doing it.
And we keep doing
it
no matter if an obstacle happens or whatever.
Something bad happens.
It doesn't stop us.
No. It can't stop us because
no.
we have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the result must get accomplished. And sometimes it takes longer than we thought. And sometimes we have to do a lot of juggling. But it gets done. But when we're doing something new and we don't throw everything into it, what tends to happen is this idea that it becomes just a hobby. And it becomes just 80% committed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the 80-20 rule, everyone. That's different.
No, but, that's right.
But I'm talking about just... I'm mostly committed, which means I'm doing just enough stuff to want more, but I'm not going the whole distance
mm-hmm.
to get the results I really want.
And then you end up, sadly, with a sort of like, you know, three steps forward, two steps back,
yeah.
that kind of a thing, or just mm-hmm. sort of a...
Or three steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah, exactly, where you end up being status quo.
And the only thing you say is that it has been a distraction in your life,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes a pleasing one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need these distractions to keep us going, or
mm-hmm.
they're certainly
But we also
engaging.
Need success.
Yes.
I know I do. I need mm-hmm. to feel like there are times when I'll just say to you, Julie, I have to do this today because I have to.
Right.
Even with Elliot, you know, we were noticing that he just likes the little stuff.
Right.
He'll find the aspirin, or you
yeah.
know,
and we have to take it away from him. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. But he goes for stuff that he can be successful at. He doesn't
exactly.
go for something that's huge.
No. Right. He's a puppy.
That's right. That's just the way I see it. You know?
I understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was listening to Tim Ferriss's podcast. And it was kind of cute. I mentioned that, and you always get a little twinge in your voice, like, "Oh, we, you know, I knew him when he started in the internet
yes,
world. He
yes.
just went off like a gangbuster."
You got that right.
Yeah,
that little twinge in me.
Yeah, and it was so sweet. And yet, and so, but I listened to him enough to know that this man's an animal.
Yes,
and
there's no puppies in his life.
I don't know. I don't think so. But mostly there is, he makes sure that his nut's small enough that he can have the time to do what he needs to do. And he talks about volunteering, that starting off volunteering was his way to get into places and and meet people. And he always was amazed when people who volunteered didn't do their best work, because the truth is, yes, you're not getting paid, but this volunteer work will get you someplace that you'll never be able to get to on your own. And I thought that was very interesting, but he talked about this idea of sometimes when you're having resistance and not doing what you want, you're supposed to be doing to get to your goal, it's because your goal is too small. And
it doesn't capture you.
It doesn't capture you enough to get you off your butt and move.
Right.
And it works both ways, because we talk about in our book that you have to have a big enough goal, but you also have to tweak your way there so you own your success.
Right.
But one thing he talked about, and I thought was very interesting, is when you get these big goals, you're going to fail. You're going to fail at it. But you're going to have enough success along the way that you're going to be someplace different than when you started. And when I got that, I got it big. I got it big in my heart.
I got it.
Yes, it is the same thing as, you know, shoot for the stars, you'll land on the moon. I get that. But there is something so brilliant about taking the path of mega results and only getting half of them versus taking the path of little results and getting none of them.
It takes somebody with good self-esteem to see to do it that way.
You're right.
Because most people want the badge, the star on their forehead.
Right.
You know, most people want stardom, you know, the huge bank account or whatever. But to do what you're saying takes excellent self-esteem. And I, you know what I'm thinking about as you're talking about this? Christmas cards.
Okay. Let's
because
put that together.
You're, you know, how many people, like, say, oh, I haven't talked to you in a year or whatever. Tell us what went on. And you're like, oh, my God, a million and one things went on. But all I can say is, oh, everything's good.
I'm grateful for my life.
Yeah.
I'm grateful to be here.
But how do you, you know, I mean, like, if you had this huge thing and you go, oh, well, if you want to know what I really did this year, you know, this is what I did. But I don't know. I guess you just hope people are just okay. And,
yes.
You know.
That's the main thing. You hope people are okay.
Yeah. Putting food on the table. And
it was kind of interesting because I had my aunt call me on my birthday, and she was like, she always does every year. And it's so sweet. And just love her to death. But we literally talk 5 or 10 minutes every year. But because she was such a part of my childhood, I feel completely close to her. And lots of good feelings around her. But it was so funny because she asked me how my year was, how everything was going. I said, oh, you know, overall status quo, really, except that I threw my back out and barely could walk for about a month. And, you know, I still got issues with that and yada, yada, yada. And I'm feeling my age. And I go, but overall, I feel pretty blessed and I feel lucky and, you know, and life is going okay and good and so forth. And then I, at the end I go, oh, but you know what I'm really focusing on right now? My spirituality. And I feel my soul and my spirit is just doing great. And she goes, oh, awesome.
Awesome to you.
Yeah, awesome that you're focusing on your spirit and your soul.
Well, you were talking about Tim Ferriss, right? And you know, like I said, he sort of started out the same time we did, and we were, you know, so we always kept an eye on him and stuff. And he mentioned that he was supposed to have this TV show.
Yes.
And it was, I think, Turner Broadcasting, which went out of business or something.
Something happened, yes.
And so that just went up in smoke. But he also, and I really think of him as, like, you called him an animal. There's something special about him. I don't know what, but... And then he talked about, he goes, you know, I have my blood done, and I need to, I'm watching my vitamin D, and I need this, and all this stuff. He goes, and yet my elbows hurt.
His joints hurt, his elbows hurt.
He said, my elbows hurt.
Yeah. And I know that feeling. That's painful.
Yeah. But, you know, here's somebody we think is like a real go-getter, operates in that principle realm.
Very disciplined.
very disciplined and is a researcher and a student of all of this stuff. And what I really appreciated, though, was, Tim, you know, you took the mask off.
Yeah.
And I was, like, so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where I kind of always wanted him to go.
Right.
Was, I mean, because you're kind of, like, all up in the sky. He's this guy and this major-ass author and friends with all these, you know, big mm-hmm. shots. And then, yeah, you know, your elbows
yeah.
hurt.
And then, right.
And not just hurt. You said, I can't lift weights anymore.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, now you're in the real world with all of us.
I know. And isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We were talking about
I was happy about
yeah.
it. I mean, he was much more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
when the people allow themselves to say the truth.
Yes.
I'm more interested in them as well.
Yes.
And I don't get it very often in this world because we're not supposed to speak of what we don't want,
mm-hmm.
speak of what we only want. And our words are very powerful, 100%. That's so true.
Yes.
Except that I think sometimes denying, we can say things in a
yes.
way that at least acknowledge the truth as well as the truth that it's going to get better.
And you know what it also has? Because we have this, we are meant and created for relationships. First, relationships with our divine, no relationship with ourselves. And when we are all speaking in a, you know, that foreign language or whatever, how do you develop that I-thou relationship or that intimacy, like that into me see?
Right.
I want you to be able to into me see.
Right.
When we're all just, you know, what was that? Christy Whitman has had her new book. We probably should interview her. Having It All?
Yeah.
The Art of Having It All?
Yeah.
You know, I hope that in her new book she, you know, takes the mask off.
Right.
And so that we don't, you know, so all it's not just all like, here's how to be great, you know.
Right. And I want to say kudos to her if she can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't figured it out yet. I haven't. I'm still working on my journey
mm-hmm.
and the ups and downs, and being thrown for a loop, and mm-hmm. and working on feeling good, and yet having things happen that aren't so good, but trying to do the best I can with it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when it gets sticky.
It's a sticky wicket.
Yes. I'm not sure I know what that means, but I'm there for that.
No. Oh, I guess it dates me a little bit, but
Maybe it does.
You know, girlfriend, yeah. Speaking of, you know, living in Illinois here, you were telling me a story about that something that you had heard that happened just across the state line and was Minnesota.
Yes, it is a little hop, skip, and jump away.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Like, right, you go right up to Galena.
Yeah, you know, it's a good, I like to talk about this. I want to talk about family relationships and parental rights and something that I'm very familiar with because I have a great family that's full of juiciness and how the court systems has a way of getting into things and making them worse sometimes. And I can't figure it out, but I'll share this story with you. There's a court case of a Minnesota right now where this high school student got hit in the head by a baseball during a game. Wasn't expected to live, but he did live, but has these horrible seizures and muscle spasms and cramps up and cannot control it whatsoever. He was starting to have a really good year, and a teacher asked him, well, what's going on?
Ask
the parents, what's going on?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And they admitted to giving their child marijuana oil in a brownie or whatever, and that it's been helping immensely. And this was before it was legalized to have medicinal marijuana in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the teacher told the principal, or something like this, where the chain of command is, and then the principal told the authorities, and they got arrested. They got arrested for child endangerment. And
I know, blood boiling here.
Yeah, it just seems crazy. And it's funny because being a teacher, there's no gray line. it's not our job to determine if it's something is wrong or right. If there's just a little inkling of it being wrong, we're supposed to pass that along for somebody else to decide if it was wrong or right. And I wonder in my situation, if I was a teacher that heard that for the first time, that they put marijuana, what I would have done.
Right.
And I think about it and I go, I'm not a teacher anymore, so no one can come back and say that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have said, oh, you're using hemp oil. That's awesome. You know, keep using the hemp oil because, you know, luckily that's legal here. But I don't know if, you know, I don't know if anything else is legal, but you know, keep using the hemp oil, you know.
Because mm-hmm. I heard you say hemp oil, right?
Yeah, I heard you say hemp oil, right?
And all of a sudden you're like, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah,
uh-huh.
Hemp oil, that's yeah. it. Yeah, I think, hopefully I would have been brave enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But I hope you would have been brave enough to do that as well.
But what ends up happening is, you know, now there's this court case. And the judge right now, I think it's like he's going to review everything and in 90 days, make his verdict. So it went through a grand jury, a prosecutor's prosecuting, and this costs his family money. And the end result is that their son still has this condition. The only thing that they found that works is this. And they said as soon as this is over, they're moving to Colorado because they don't want to be prosecuted for this ever again.
Right.
And the husband said, the father said, the one thing I'm upset most about is that the charges are endangering the minor, endangering the life of a minor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm actually hurting my son. How
mm-hmm.
dare you?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? I have to live with this condition with my son.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take care of my son the best. And I wonder how this got out of hand.
How there does are this stuff go so crazy?
It does. And I don't know if it's because we have to live in a black and white world still, where this is the law. I can't let you break the law, even though it makes sense to
break
the law.
I remember Wayne Dyer saying one time, you know, the legal system can only tell you what's legal or not, not that it's right or wrong.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's as simple as it could get.
Well, for very much so. And I think about this family, what they've had to go through for the last year.
Oh, my God.
And how much effort and what a waste of time for themselves
mm-hmm.
when the end result will still be the same, which is mm-hmm. we're going to move anyway to Colorado mm-hmm. because I can't deal with this.
Right. See, okay, so here's this, Angels.
Mm-hmm.
All along the way, you got these decisions, right?
Yeah.
So your son is doing so much better that a teacher notices.
Right.
And so you're the parents, and she says, this is great, you know, John or whatever is doing better. Are you doing anything different? At that point,
you say nothing.
You would say, at least at this point,
yes.
You'd say, no, you know, just prayer, you know, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, we're just praying our way through this. Yeah.
I mean, not that you're saying, don't put yourself there.
Right.
I mean, I understand, you know, hey, it's a principal thing, it's working, you want to help other people, whatever, you know. But or maybe they thought she was cool, you know,
right.
or okay with it.
Right.
You just don't know. But at that point, that to me was mistake one, you know. And then, okay, so now the teacher knows this information. By law,
yes.
You know, I like what you said. At that point, she could have just said your little, what you were going to say, you know. Or pretend I didn't hear you.
Right.
I just didn't hear you.
Right.
And then, but no, she took that information and moved it along.
And then they moved it along. Because once somebody else knows that you have that information and you don't move it along, now your job's in the line. Your credentials are in the line. And so now it becomes a big issue. The only way it would have stopped if the teacher wouldn't have said anything.
Right.
And the parents wouldn't have said anything either.
Right.
You know.
At that little tiny moment when would have been lovely to have this intimate relationship of the truth.
Right.
You know. And again, they're doing something that was illegal.
Oh, yeah,
so
exactly.
Then they should have not said anything. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying that, you know, they chose to help their son over breaking the law, right?
But if you're breaking the law to help your son, keep your mouth shut.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly
now
my point.
Now I just feel you're being stupid.
Right.
You know?
So I see where these kind of cracks in the cement started happening here that led to this, what you're talking about, this craziness.
Well,
and
it's interesting because I was watching Dr. Phil, whatever. And
no.
Yeah, and I don't know if I mentioned this.
Probably
case
at
before.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
here.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But it was an old one. And it was about grandparent rights. And I think it was in Texas. I'm not 100% sure. But this grandmother and the daughter, her daughter, were not doing well. They had no relationship whatsoever except for hate and anger and all that stuff. And the key thing was they're both big manipulators and liars. Not real physical abuse, but just she's a big liar and a manipulator, and she's a big liar and manipulator. And
but she's going to know one.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the
I'm
apple is far, far
what bounces off of me sticks to you.
Exactly. But the idea that the grandmother then sues the daughter to have her grandparents' visitation rights. And I thought, really? This is what you're going to do in your own time?
Wow.
Because I thought it was crappy on everybody's account.
Wow.
Little Elliot is just having a hard time right now.
Is he having a hard time?
Yeah. He wants to get out, but that's too bad.
Oh, if we let him out.
No, he's fine.
Okay.
And that's
he
not
could
happen.
He could poop everywhere.
And he could bite my feet. So
yes,
let's
that's
let
true.
Me.
He's a nipper.
Yep. And so, but what I thought was very interesting is the idea that there was this big lawsuit going on and these court cases, and people were spending money on lawyer fees just so the grandmother could see her teenage boy's grandson. And I thought to myself, you are not building any goodwill points here
mm-hmm.
with your grandson.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost,
the grandson is a teenager?
Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm going to be 11, 12, but no, I'm going to be older than that. I know.
What?
I'm thinking, just be kind and then let the kid see you when he's 18. But what I thought, too, was this idea that I don't know how crazy the mom, the grandmother really is.
Right.
Okay? This idea of they're manipulators and they're just, you know,
mm-hmm.
liars.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Guess what? It's as a grandkid to a parent, to a grandmother who is not very kind to you, you get to know how to work with people like that then.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't hurt you as much. You get to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is just grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She can be a little crazy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
There are crazy people out in the world. It is not bad to figure out how to work with that.
Right.
Because we can't be sheltered our whole life from that.
Yeah, there's some crazy people out there.
There is.
And they're going to be at our party on Wednesday.
There you go. But this idea also that, you know, if the mother of this son would have just said, you know what, every other month we're going to stop by and see grandma for 2 or 3 hours
mm-hmm.
for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or even once a month.
Mm-hmm. See, that's
great. She would have had boundaries,
yeah.
And this wouldn't have taken up her whole life.
And also what you're suggesting is, you know what, Grandma, spend a little money. Throw some cash around. You know,
oh, yes.
Invite them out to dinner.
Yeah.
Take them to whatever.
Right.
You know, spread
and,
some money
and do
around.
That while you're doing that.
Yeah.
Don't say one damn negative thing.
Right.
Don't condemn. Don't criticize.
Don't look at the short pants.
Yes.
You know, or the haircut.
Exactly. Keep
let
your mouth crap shut,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
And just let it be. And then let it all be.
Mm-hmm.
Because the end result is horrible. The fact that people have to fight in the court systems and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you don't have any peace from this woman.
Mm-mm.
You would have more peace if you just would have had boundaries.
But this is reminding me of something. I don't know if it was a movie I saw or where the mother, you know, wanted control over the husband, and the wife wanted control over the husband. And so the mother and the wife were always, maybe it was House Hunters. I don't know.
House Hunters could be so cutthroat, man.
It's so dramatic.
There's three houses here in Austin, Texas.
It was House
Which
Hunters
Which one will they pick? Yeah. House Hunters
and they were Italian.
Well,
it was,
and
it was horrible.
And my mother-in-law is giving us $100,000, so I got to listen to her, you know.
Exactly.
Well, that's your problem there, okay? You take the money, you got to take the whole thing.
But see, I feel like whenever you get into kind of a tug of war like that, I don't want anything that bad.
No.
That I have to fight for, you know, somebody else for it. I really don't want anything that bad. It's like, if it can't be peaceful, And we can't, you know, can't we all just get along?
Right.
I don't,
and
you know,
why would you want to have a grandson in your life that hates you because you're suing him his mother?
Right. And you know, if you know that mom's talking trash about the grandma.
And the grandma is talking trash about the mother.
You, yeah.
Even though by court case papers, it says they're not allowed to do that.
Oh, really?
I'm like, really? We have to have court case papers saying, don't talk badly about your, you know, family members.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, this is, we're insane. We are insane. Mm-hmm. And like I said, my feeling was that the daughter was just like the mother.
Mm-hmm. Because, okay, so it was the actual daughter of the mother then?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a step or a mother-in-law. It was the actual. And see, if you like the same person, then it's someone can't back down fast enough.
Because
either one will.
No.
You've got to have someone backing down fast enough.
Right.
But it was interesting. I was talking to a friend.
I'd back down all the way to Alaska or something.
Yeah,
you know,
move away,
yeah.
And then you can just see him once a year,
right?
And it's happy.
Yeah,
it's happy once a year.
Like you said that when you started the program, you said it's taking up too much real estate in my brain.
Exactly. We can have boundaries.
I don't want
people.
You to do that. I don't want to. I don't want you to have that kind of power over my brain.
Exactly. Well. I had another story to say, but I can't remember it now.
Hmm.
It rented a space in my brain, then got evicted out. I don't know. It's like when I'm on vacation. I don't know.
No trespassing.
Exactly.
Evicted.
Oh, I was at work, and I was talking to this gentleman at work. And he was saying, I go, how? You done with Christmas? I only have to buy for my two granddaughters. Oh, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. How old are they? And 5 and 4. I'm like, oh, those are great ages. Like, every other age sucks, but, you know, that's a horrible age. And we all know that's true. It's 13 and a half. That's a horrible age.
Right.
Yeah, that's a horrible age. But anyway, and I go, because, oh, yeah, but my daughter's not talking to me right now. I'm like, oh, no, what happened? Because I'm like, what could something, what
true,
could
you
possibly,
said that, like,
I did.
What happened?
What happened?
Here. Sit down. Come on now, sit down.
I know.
Tell me what happened. That's you. That is you.
I thought, I can resolve this issue because the truth is,
I'm a coach.
I have a good family, and I can tell you how to have a successful family if you just listen to me. Yeah, you know?
And I'm a psychotherapist, and I can tell you, like, oh, well, 50-50 chance.
Yeah. And the truth is, like, let it go and just show up. That's how you have a successful family.
Let it go
and show up.
And I think that in general, that's 100% right. But in general, if I had to have a rule, even as a psychotherapist,
yes,
I'd say the older person has to do that.
Oh, for sure. You're right.
Not the younger person, which in my family was always, you know, the older people had to be catered to, you know. But as an adult, as an older person, you should just shut up, turn it off, play nice, throw out some bucks.
Yeah. And not big bucks. Not buy,
no.
You know, take them to dinner. Not, we're not saying buy people, you know, cars or rent.
No.
People need to fend for themselves. I get that. But he was saying that his daughter was taking advantage of her a little bit.
Of him?
Yes. I don't know what that meant. Maybe he was taking out too much bucks. I don't know. And because I just needed to let her know that she was taking advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, well, that probably could have been handled differently. I didn't say
that. You didn't say that,
of course,
to him, no.
But what I thought was, I don't think he's married, and I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But because I have a father and your husband, and you're together for a long time, nothing gets out of hand too much.
Mm-hmm.
No negative crap or wedges between any of our relationships goes on too long without someone stepping in and saying, this is bull crap. Forgive each other now and move on because it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that typically, like, I can't imagine this ever happening in a relationship, but if something would have happened between me and you, Dad would have said, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You need to apologize and get over with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes you've had a problem with my significant other once in a while.
No.
And I know that Dad has said to you, he's got to let it go.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta let it go.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're gonna drive you crazy.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been perfect, but you're much better than what it could have been if Dad wasn't around.
Right. Oh, come on.
You know.
For sure. He's a calming influence on me.
I'm not going that far.
Excuse me, my nose just grew 2 inches.
I'm just saying, in this one area, he just says, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You going to let this bug you the rest of the day, or are you going to let it go?
Yeah, have a little cocktail.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to have a cocktail. Give me some wine, you know, and so forth. So I do think that when there's a couple or the head of the family or something that sound, that they're not both crazy, because we all are crazy at certain times in our relationships, aren't we, with certain things?
You know, and also I think that with the economy, and I don't want to say negative,
right?
But it's still a piece of crap, right? And so I think people are like, I don't know if she lives with him or I don't know if he's somewhat supporting her. I
don't know anything.
People, they don't get married anymore. You know, it's you know, you do end up having these pressurized containers that I don't think you had like in the 80s.
No.
You know, I mean, things were kind of like the American dream still. And
I think, though,
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think, though, that talking is the best medicine, and not telling, but talking. And talking from the beginning, because sometimes we just let things go, saying, well, obviously they know that I want them to get a job.
That's not true. Obviously.
You are so right. Yeah, like, no, there's no obvious thing.
No. Talking is so different than telling.
Yes.
Like, you two should get together and talk. Well, she did this to me, and she did that. That's not talking.
That's telling.
That's telling. You're absolutely right.
And telling what you think I did.
Right.
I'm like, I didn't do that at all.
No.
I go, a lot of times I just say, I'm sorry that you feel that I did that, because that was not my intention.
And see, this is where, again, we have to have, if we had good self-esteem, not like, I just think highly of myself.
Right.
No, when we have good self-esteem, then our ego knows, hey, wait a minute, I do not have to win this war.
No.
I do not even have to win this battle. Mm-mm. It doesn't, I care for that other person. I love that other person. I want only the best for that other person.
Now, there it is in a nutshell. It's wanting the best for the person.
Yes.
No matter what. And I think...
I just told you that today.
You did. Mm-hmm. And when you want that, your relationship is never on the line.
Never.
Because deep down, I want you to have the best for whatever you need, I want you to have. And I'll tell you what, it's never giving up me, because I'm never going to be the source of that contention.
Remember, what in the Bible, is it Solomon, that these two women were fighting over the baby? And Solomon, in his wisdom, said, well, listen, since we can't, they were fighting over the baby. They're both claiming to be the baby's mother. And Solomon said, well, I'll cut the baby in half, and each of you can have half. And the real mother said, no.
Right.
Give it to her.
Right.
And he knew then that was because she loved the baby enough to give it up.
Right.
To have a, you know, to save it. I love that.
Yeah.
Everybody should learn that. Everybody should.
For sure. Because I agree. I'm totally not into cutting babies in half. That's wrong.
Did you miss the point of that?
I did not miss the point of
that morality story.
No, I really didn't.
Just kidding. Just kidding. We used to have a daughter-in-law. We no longer had a... She would cut you down really bad, and then you'd like, and she'd go, just kidding.
Oh, no. She was awesome at that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she would tell it like it was, in her opinion.
Yeah.
And go, oh, I'm just kidding. And I'm like, I really want to tell you that you're not kidding.
Yeah. Really, we know that you're not.
And it's like saying, I mean, hey, what's going on with this outfit here? It really sucks. Oh, just kidding. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, no, honey, I know. It's okay. I just keep my mouth shut.
Right.
I have a good enough self-esteem to realize that, whatever.
That's probably what we could say for the holidays coming up. Everybody just keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
Keep the peace.
You know,
peace on earth.
It was kind of funny, though, because I used to, she was, she really was talented. I mean, she was an actress on the stage.
A dramatic actress.
Yes. And when they were together, I used to go to all of her performances and be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be supportive. I really did. She's family. But as soon as they weren't together, I'm like, thank God that's over.
I do not have to go to one more show.
I'm don't want to do any of this stuff anymore. And I felt bad because Gregory, they were still kind of connecting still afterwards hadn't totally separated yet. And he's like, oh, she's kind of so sad that you're not going to her performances anymore. And what's going on? And I'm like, and then for a split second, I felt bad. Like, oh, am I being wrong not
mm-hmm.
to go?
Mm-hmm.
And then the truth is, like, you know, no. I felt you guys are all going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to develop this relationship before I went because I want to support you and my brother. But
right.
now I'm fine.
Right.
You're going to have somebody
else
for you.
Well, also, too, like, when if you open the dictionary to narcissist, her picture was there.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and a very black and white, awesome-looking shot. That's what it would have been.
With a lot of jazz hands.
Yes, that would have been there.
We go together like Reverend Levin. I can't remember all the songs I sing.
But that's how it would have gone.
Yeah.
And
we're not judging, though.
No,
we're
kind. Judging.
I am.
It's funny.
It's just hilarious.
It is. But I did, you know, I did feel a little bad when I'm like, oh, I guess she did enjoy me coming, you know, and
mm-hmm.
seeing her perform.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the time to be supportive to people that are not in my family. I'm too exhausted with just the family.
I know.
And you're going to have another family, and they can support you then.
That's right.
And it did happen. It happened. That was good.
That's right.
It all worked out. It all worked out.
All is well.
Exactly. So there was a couple more things we were supposed to talk about today, but I can't remember in the next 5 or 6 minutes before our show closes.
Yeah. So we could just wish everybody Merry Christmas.
Yes. And what that means to everybody. And Elliot is just going nuts.
I know.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Because we've just been saying what a good dog he is.
No, we didn't. We called him a nipper, a pooper, a peer.
Yeah. So can I share with everybody, because you did mention Christmas, and we said we weren't going to do that.
I know. I broke my own rule.
It dates the show then.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that I started this last year because, I don't know, we were having some difficulties, you and I were.
We were?
Kind of. No, I wanted to increase our love, so I decided that I would make your Christmas season the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And I would give you a gift every day
for
12 days before Christmas.
I loved that last year.
And so then this year I thought, well, she really liked that.
I did. And so you kind of, now you started something.
I did, so we've been doing the same thing. And it's not been big gifts, but it's been kind of fun.
Yeah.
How have you been liking it?
I loved it. Today, you bought me this lottery book, like had six, you know, different little lottery cards. And they were big, and I did 4 of the 6, which I didn't win anything.
Oh,
but I still have 2 more to do.
Ah!
And last year you got me a lot of booze.
Yes. This year I'm boozed out. I'm not getting any booze.
You haven't got me any, but you got me a heating pad.
Which didn't work.
And I take it back.
Yes.
And you got me a kitchen timer.
Yes, which you wanted.
Which I asked for.
Yes.
A purse.
Huh?
My gosh, I think another lottery ticket.
Yes.
I'm missing some stuff in here. I know I am.
You are, but I can't remember them all either because so many.
I know. And it's not even Christmas yet. I got more to come.
No, you got more to come.
I love the 12 days of Christmas.
I mean, it's just kind of fun. It's kind of fun for me, too.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel special.
Yeah.
Every morning, Julie knocks on my bedroom door, comes in, and says, on the 5th day of Christmas.
And here's what I got you. And it's so funny because one of the things I got you coming up, which I've told you, it's like a year for Pogo.
Yes.
And then a year of George Norrie.
Yes.
Those are coming up next.
I'm going to love both of those.
Oh, and I got you something from Gloria Copeland.
You did? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that. Yeah.
Healing, so that would be good.
That's going to be great.
Yes. I mean, so it's been kind of fun getting these small gifts,
yes.
you know? That's the other thing, because I'm just not giving you one big gift.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having to spread the money out, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here.
And every time you sneak away and stuff, I know you're getting me some more stuff.
Yes. Oh, I got you towels.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
400 count thread count.
Beautiful
800
towels.
Count. I mean, gorgeous. Egyptian cotton. Gorgeous towels.
I love the 12 days of Christmas.
Yes. Well, because you were complaining, like, hey, I don't have any towels.
I, well,
where are the towels at?
Somebody took my towels.
Elliot.
Yes. Elliot is now he's the keeper of the towels.
Which is awesome because you used to blame me for the towels. And now you blame
no,
him.
I blame
Thank
Elliot.
You, God.
And
Devin.
Then, like, I used to, you know, see a little number two around the living room or something.
Put that on me
I
too.
No longer blame. I used to blame that. Is that Julie leaving an elderberry heel on?
And it wasn't me anymore. It's Elliot.
No, it's Elliot.
That's great. Mm. Well, I just want to say to everybody, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we will talk to you next Sunday. And we just hope, you know, whether you're having a small gathering or it's just you or a large gathering,
mm-hmm.
we want
Peace
you to be
earth.
Happy. And
yes.
we hope that you can experience just the love that's around you.
Yes. Take it all in.
Take it all in. And claim what you want, and if it's going to be a quiet one this year, sometimes it's the best kind. And if you're not celebrating at all because you just don't believe in that, you know, Chinese food at a movie is awesome, too.
That's right.
Because you get the day off, and that's
right.
pretty cool. It's cool to have a day off for no reason if you don't believe in it. Mm.
You
know?
You mean no reason for the season?
Yes.
No way.
If you hate Santa and you're not into Christ, well, then it's a day off for Chinese food and a movie.
You're making me have some MSG. I want some MSG, girlfriend.
You're going to get a little taste of that. Awesome.
All okay, right. Well, it was great.
It was great. Have a great, great night. Bye-bye.
It was great. It was great.